I am Nkosinathi Ndlovu, and this is Tech Central's TCS Plus, brought to you by Checkpoint Software Technologies. The cybersecurity landscape is evolving, and spending in the sector is estimated to reach $228 billion by 2027. At the same time, the CISO office is under more pressure than it's ever been before, due to a shortage of skilled security personnel, coinciding with a rise in cybersecurity incidents. Here to tell us more about the problem and how to solve it is Rudy van Rooyen, security engineer at Checkpoint Africa. Rudy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Rudy, please tell us more about Checkpoint Software and what you do.
Okay. Checkpoint Software is a listed NASDAQ company. We've got hundreds, thousands of customers globally. We've got thousands of staff that work on research and development.
Excellent, excellent. So, Rudy, a lot of companies these days are going through cloud journeys, you know, where they're moving their operations into the cloud. And one of the expectations they have of that is that they can actually outsource a lot of responsibility to their cloud services providers. But when it comes to security, moving to the cloud is not always that straightforward, is it?
No, absolutely. So a lot of companies are constantly weighing up the pros and cons by moving their workloads that sits on an on-premise or hosted type environment that they manage to cloud. They get lots of benefits in terms of flexibility and scalability. But to have that same security control that they used to own and be able to manage in the cloud becomes a bit of a challenge. The cloud service provider will provide infrastructure capability, etc. But there's always a gap in terms of security from a configurational perspective, from a prevention perspective, etc. Additionally, from a SecOps management perspective, the teams that need to look into all of these security events on a daily basis struggle with visibility, etc.
So, talking about that, we have seen that there's a rise in the number of incidents. Cybersecurity incidents, and how are companies dealing with this?
Well, it's quite interesting. If you look at the latest trend, there was just a recent survey being done, which Checkpoint was involved in, where we took essentially over 800 IT and cybersecurity clouds professionals. We did a survey finding more specifically around cloud and what do they see as was what's actually transpiring within cloud. And like you mentioned, there's been a massive increase, over 40% increase in security incidents with the cloud, with South Africa and the rest of Africa migrating a lot of their workloads. This becomes for CISOs a very, very concerning number because, like you mentioned in the start of the show, it's one of the key aspects that sits on his table on a daily basis on how can he reduce the risk in that cloud environment.
As well as the number of incidents rising, there's also what you call the threat surface level, I think, where the different typed ways in which you can be breached are also evolving.
Absolutely. So yes. We talk around the threat landscape.
Yes.
And the threat landscape, basically, in cyber security, we're trying to reduce the attack surface. And in order to reduce attack surface, specifically talking in cloud, we need to understand what the type of security incidence is. Mm-hmm. And in the last year, we've seen a bit of a change and a shift in paradigm, where traditionally it was around a lot of focus around misconfiguration, guys making configurational errors, etc., which was a lot of focus from CISOs in terms of procurement for posture management type of tools that can give you that early visibility where guys have made config changes. Mm-hmm. We've seen the change in the industry in the last year where it shifted towards more data breaches, and we look at where potential compromised resources is also fairly high in terms of what you need to look at as a next step in the evolution of cloud security.
Okay. But now, in looking at this, I mean, prevention is also better than cure, right? But how, considering that, even the cyber criminals are innovating every day, they're coming up with new stuff, how is it possible to keep a preventative approach so that you are not breached?
Yeah, absolutely. So a prevention first approach from Checkpoint, that's been our ethos all these years, right? It's no point we have technology that's going to show us where there's potential incidents, but the attack is still happening, and our mean time to repair just takes too long, right? Mm-hmm. You mentioned we had skills shortages, etc. So Checkpoint's approach on prevention first has got a couple of elements. If you look at cloud specifically, the adoption in the market, which we see, is towards a CNAPP-based type platform. And cloud-native application protection platform basically takes quite a lot of facets within cloud, and you need to have a holistic view in terms of all of those different aspects in order to protect against. Mm-hmm. And then prevention first approach is where you rely on, in Checkpoint world, where you rely on our threat cloud, which is a lot of AI-driven type of engines in the back end, mm-hmm. as well as research and development that constantly do reverse malware engineering, do application signature creation, etc. We do have other technologies within the CNAPP stack specifically also driving from an AI perspective. So mm-hmm. if we look at a lot of breaches, it's coming from the front door, so coming from public or internet domain. And how do you protect that first layer of inspection? You need an AI-based type of technology that's not static, because cloud is forever changing. The guys accessing the applications in the back end, you need an AI base that can contextualize various different factors and then put it back in a risk scoring algorithm that will then give you more precise behaviors from a user perspective, from a crowd perspective, your colleagues, etc., how they're engaging that back in application. And only then can you have a true prevention first type approach.
Okay, excellent. But now you mentioned AI coming in and playing a role in helping identify threats and identify behavior, user behavior as well. But how is AI also helping the CISO perform their role and make it easier?
Well, it's quite an interesting thing. And if you see, like I mentioned earlier, Checkpoint does a lot of investment with research and development. Mm-hmm. We've seen in the last 10 years, we've seen that this is where the world is transitioning towards, right? So AI, we know, is being utilized today by attackers on a daily basis. They use AI technology to gain insights and to be able to get that type of information at the fingertips. It means that less skilled people could potentially execute malware-based attacks. But from our perspective, from a Checkpoint perspective, AI, what I initially mentioned with Threat Cloud, was in the back end, where we constantly stop attacks before they're happening. But what Checkpoint's moving towards is an AI technology that we set in the front end. So how can we help staff, your SecOps team, to do their day-to-day tasks and not necessarily have lots of security engineers, lots of security analysts? You've got a few engineers, but you rely on the AI on the front end to essentially help you with your day-to-day tasks. So instead of me having to do a PhD degree in how to secure my cloud, I can have a very basic type of engineer that basically just feeds the system as a helper, asking him basic questions. And in the back end, the system, the AI, essentially interrogate all of those aspects you mentioned, provide you feedback, and better secure your environment going forward.
Excellent. And so this is also to address that skills shortage you're talking about in that place. But now the CISO's office is under pressure for a number of reasons. How else is Checkpoint supporting that function?
Absolutely. So CISO for us is one of the key fundamentals. A lot of our engagements, when we see customers on the day-to-day, C-level guys, and we constantly hear the same type of challenges. So in Checkpoint, we have a field CISO office, a virtual CISO, what a lot of guys know the terminology as. And essentially what a CISO also like at times is a ear to actually listen, hear what their pain points is, what their challenges, and also have someone that's got the expertise and knowledge, that's been in the industry, that's been a CISO for various companies in various verticals, and actually understand those challenges, right? Then can guide him, can give him advice, can give him strategy and roadmap. How do I address my long-term cybersecurity strategy? How do I change my security architecture to be in line, to be more secure based on a zero trust-based architecture? How do I move to cloud if I'm in the transition from on-premises to cloud? What do I need to look out for so that I don't have the same type of pitfalls that other CISOs had when they had that transitioning happening? So that's what Checkpoint provides. We provide that through our Infinity Global service offering. And this is open to South Africans and the rest of Africa. This is part of our value add we provide to our customer base.
And you say that you've got a footprint locally as well as on the continent, but you're a global organization. And what we've seen with cyber criminals is that they're also acting globally. Sometimes they go into less developed economies and they test because they think the security is weaker there. And then they try and go and try those strategies in more developed economies. How does the fact that you guys have a global footprint, you know, help you better secure your clients?
Well, a global footprint means we've got visibility that what happens on a day-to-day at a larger scale, right? So having over 100,000 customers globally allows us, you can think of all the different security technologies that we've deployed. Those are sensors that actually provide us to additional information to actually gain insights into how the behavior of an attacker is. So what type of techniques, tactics they use. So if a new type of methodology gets created and we see it in a different country, within 2 seconds, we can provide a security signature for anything globally. So that applies to South Africa, it applies to Africa. So having that global footprint definitely helps. But again, that is one aspect, having that big data lake that definitely helps you to find a lot of things, but you need to contextualize it because you also need the back end where you need to rely on research teams, you need to rely on different aspects, on things that we haven't seen before that's in the wild, a zero-based type of activity. So that's where our AI engines additionally come in with the data we've got in terms of what's happened in the past.
So you're ingesting a lot of telemetry data to help you identify different types of threats. But how many data points are you looking at any point in time?
Well, so our research team on a daily basis, last stats I saw was interrogating over 2 billion websites. So the domains that suddenly we see potential compromise on a daily basis. We see where we do file inspection of over 70 million files on a daily basis. The key thing to identify here, it's around things that's not been seen before, right? So zero-day based type of activity, potential indicators of compromise, and that's how we provide such a great service to our customers. Prevention first is being able to do all that analysis with our research team in the back end, where essentially we do more transactions, if you think about it logically, than a guy searching on a Google search page. So we just mentioned around AI, and we talked about our research and development team, and we talked around Checkpoint as a prevention first, but how do the market see this and understand it and contextualize it is we do yearly benchmarking tests with third parties. So MIACOM just recently did a third party testing where they take our technology and they put it against zero-day based type of data set. And out of that, Checkpoint scored 99.8%, highest from any vendor that participated in the benchmarking exercise.
Okay. That means that you stopped 99.8% of the threats that came through.
Absolutely. And the key thing is just to differentiate. So zero-day means it's no one out there, no vendor, no Checkpoint, no other security vendor out there has actually created a hash for this, meaning it hasn't been seen before. So these type of tests really focus around how good your AI is, how good your research and development teams is. It's not just about what you know, but it's where you look towards the future in trying to figure out what are these attack authors trying to do on a daily basis, and then adjust your technology accordingly to protect the customer. Again, we focus on the prevention. We don't want to do a lot of remediation and post breach-based type of activities, because by then it's already too late.
Oh, okay. Excellent. And are there any South Africa-specific insights that you have in terms of cybersecurity and what's happening?
Absolutely. So we obviously, as a global company, we see a lot of data coming from the US and Europe, right? Mm-hmm. But one of the key things is all our customers constantly ask us, but how real is cybersecurity crime here in South Africa? We hear numbers that the latest survey we saw from recently is that $9.5 trillion cybercrime actually expenditure globally. How do we contextualize this back in South Africa economy? So if we take South Africa's economy currently, we're looking at 10% of South Africa's GDP expenditure currently goes to cybercrime. And the problem we're facing is that a lot of our customers out there today saying that, listen, yeah, cybersecurity is expensive and we only have so much budget, and it's a lot of times not the priority, but less than 0.1% of South Africa's GDP currently gets spent on cybersecurity tools, etc., to actually stop or try to mitigate these type of cyber crimes.
So companies are feeling that it's a grudge purchase, they don't want to spend up front. But we've also seen that when there are ransomware attacks, for example, that the ransom amounts have gone up. So it does become expensive later on.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the malware authors out there, the attackers out there today, they've even enhanced. So common aspects that our viewers know around ransomware, they've even escalated those type of behaviors where initially I just ask you a ransom and then I'll give you the encryption keys and you can gain access again. These days we see double and triple type of extortions happening where they would ask you for the monies, and if they don't get it, or even if they do get it, they don't mind exposing that data out in the dark web. So those are typical transitions we're seeing in the market, and it's just every year just keeps evolving, right? Everybody expects ransomware at some stage is going to hit a plateau, but every year we see an increase, and we just see that they just elevate and they enhance their capabilities.
So it's important that companies invest. But other than making the investment into security, what other recommendations does Checkpoint have for organizations to protect themselves?
Yep. So there's a couple of things we kind of touched on already. One of it is to have that prevention mindset. A lot of companies still that we see is in detect-based type of mode, where they would have a lot of alerts, they'll have a lot of events happening and they don't know where to look and they don't know how to action. So prevention first for Checkpoint is always the most important, and that's where customers should focus on. Have a technology or rely on a platform technology that can protect you at different inspection points and don't have that much human behavior needed to actually solve the issue. So rely on, like I mentioned, AI-based type of algorithms, etc., and modules to actually solve a lot of your issues. The analyst that you do have in your team is to look at very unique scenarios, and not a lot of scenarios, because a human can only do so much tasks on a daily basis. So instead of looking at millions of logs, if you give him one or two incidents to look at a day, would solve a lot of issues and will have a lot less exposure. And a last one that I'll mention, and it's been for quite a long time, is like you mentioned this, it's around security awareness. So in Checkpoint, we constantly do bootcamp sessions and training, etc. Just educate, right? So letting us people know what's actually happening in South Africa, providing them threat intelligence in terms of what's happening in the rest of Africa, in the different countries. Show them how relevant it is for their specific environment, because customers like to touch home. So they want to know if they move to cloud, do we have specific data sets that actually shows threat intel, like I just explained today, but it's also around other security enforcement points. It's also not just around the technology. We always hear around human and process and et cetera. So we need to understand our customers' business policies, what they do on a day-to-day, contextualize that, speak to different owners within the companies, because everybody's got different roles, and putting that all together. We can provide a technology that can help the customer consolidate, give them visibility, and then touching on the loss aspect is that skill shortage. So if we've got all of the above, it means that it would be less of a burden on a CISO in terms of having more skill set, because the technology takes care of so much already.
Okay. So that technological support.
Absolutely.
Combined with the human element, you know,
absolutely,
to provide that security.
There's obviously other aspects, like I mentioned, our field CISO services, and in the Infinity core services, there's various other things we do as well. But for me, the fundamental part in how to improve security in South Africa and Africa is the consultation type services, right? So a lot of our customers and partners today do a lot of these type of activities and assessment, where they would do red teaming exercises, they will do CIS benchmarking controls to determine the risk factor. The main thing is the CISO wants to know where is the potential risk and how can he mitigate that risk. So once we understand that and we've run through all of those different type of sessions, we can guide them in terms of how to reduce their attack surface, reduce their risk.
Quite a bespoke service.
It is, and it's quite a lot of teams within Checkpoint, right? So it's not one guy doing it.
Yes.
Like we mentioned, we're a global team. There's quite a lot of people in the back end. Mm. We integrate the technology with the human aspect, and together we do workshops, whiteboard sessions, etc., to drive the end goal, whether it's working towards a zero trust, whether to do digital transformation. We've got quite a vast portfolio in terms of services we can provide to the customer base.
Okay, Rudy, thank you very much for your time
and
your expertise. Rudy van Rooyen of Checkpoint Software.